I have to confess, there's probably nothing I like to do more than talk about Srila Prabhupada. I've been very eager since coming here. So I have a short time. I'm just going to try to fit in maybe two stories. And these are some of my favorite stories. I have many favorite stories, but these are two of them. And since Madhvisa, he told the story of Prabhupada's bag, which it's very true, everything he said. One thing is, he did allow some of us to carry it. And I was one of those. And when you were able to carry Prabhupada's, we called it the white bag as well. I always knew it as the white bag, but you felt very special if he let you carry that bag because it was very special. It had, of course, everything in it, like he said, his passport, his bank books, BBT bank account books, whatever Guru Dakshin he was getting at different temples. So when you were permitted to carry it, then you knew Prabhupada had faith in you that you wouldn't lose it or forget it or run away with it, I guess. But it's being with Prabhupada, Prabhupada many times gave me different items, and most all of them I didn't keep. But there was one thing that I did manage to keep all these years. And my desire for this came also in a funny way. And it was Prabhupada's gray chatter. Just like you hear about the bag, was with Prabhupada for so long. Whatever pictures you look at from Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning when he came to America all through 1972, 73, 74, 75, you'll see Prabhupada in his two things, right? He had his saffron coat, and you would see him sometimes in this gray chatter. And I had never, you know, so many times I handed Prabhupada this chatter. I used to take it off him in the morning walk when the sun would come up and fold it up and put it over my arm. But it was Prabhupada's gray chatter. But one time in Mayapur in 1975, during the Gaur Purnima festival, this one devotee decided he wanted Prabhupada's gray chatter. This devotee was Guru Kripa. And he was sannyasi, of course, and he had his Namhatta party. Huh? They used to collect lots and lots of Lakshmi in Japan. So he came up with this plan, which he told me about, to get Prabhupada's gray chatter. And he went and purchased. Now, this was 1975. Now these things are very popular. They call these pashmina. There's pashmina chatters. Well, then they were not. And now, of course, they have all so much imitation, you don't even know what's real pashmina so much anymore. But at the time, to get, and even now, if you want a nice pashmina chatter, they can cost several hundred, even thousands of dollars. So his plan was very simple, just like Ugrashrava's plan. He figured, I'll get Prabhupada this amazingly beautiful, expensive chatter, pashmina, so soft and, you know, is known for you pull the chatter through a ring. You know, that's how fine it was, the cloth, that you could pull the entire chatter through your ring finger, or here, ring on your finger. So he bought this chatter, and it was all embroidered, nice embroidery, and it was in Mayapur. And there were several of us there at the time in Prabhupada's quarters in Mayapur, and Guru Kripa came in, and he put it down on Prabhupada's desk, and he said, Prabhupada, I have this chatter for you. And just put it there. It was very beautiful, you know. And he said, it's pashmina, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked and he said, yes. He said, when I was a boy, he said, every year I would get a chatter like this from my father. And, of course, we were all surprised. And he said, of course, Prabhupada's father, he was a cloth merchant. If you know, sometimes Prabhupada would talk about his father was in the cloth business. And he said, you know, he said, a friend of my father, he said he dealt exclusively in pashmina chatters. So he said he would give my father every year a chatter, and my father would give it to me. So immediately Guru Kripa's face just kind of went down, and Prabhupada just took the chatter and he put it on the shelf behind him. And he said, thank you. And there was nothing else that could happen. You know, he didn't offer Guru Kripa his gray chatter, nor could Guru Kripa ask for it, since no longer it lost, immediately it just lost all of its exclusiveness, you know. But I was there. And immediately, right then, I just developed this desire that I thought, I want Prabhupada's great chatter. I was with Prabhupada for 2 years by this time, and I never, like, you know, coveted Prabhupada's things, but all of a sudden I just thought, yes, I want Prabhupada's great chatter. But then I developed a plan, I thought, which was a much better plan. And I had to wait, I had to be patient. So from Mayapur, then Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. So when we got to Vrindavan, and Prabhupada settled into Krishna Balaram, his rooms there, and I remember I had, you know, I knew so many devotees, and one of them was Palika, who used to go to Delhi and do the shopping once a week to get fruit and vegetables, different things you couldn't get in Vrindavan. So I said, Palika, and I was Grihastha, so I had some rupees on me. And I said, would you please get me a gray wool chatter, which Prabhupada's chatter was, it had a little sticker, it said Lohi, L-O-H-I, Lohi, wool chatter. And I said, I want a chatter, so please buy me a gray wool Lohi chatter. And she said, okay. So she came back with it, and it was nice, new wool chatter, and it cost, I don't know, maybe at the time 90 rupees or something like that. You know, it wasn't that expensive. And so now I had this chatter, and I went into Prabhupada's room. And, of course, usually I never went into Prabhupada's room unless the bell rang, but I was on a mission. So I went into the room, and I offered obeisances, and I just sat up. And Prabhupada's behind his desk, and he just looks at me, you know, and he said, yes. I said, I'm holding out this chatter. And I said, Prabhupada, I said, I just bought this chatter for myself. And he's just looking, he's nodding. And I said, because I didn't have a chatter. And Prabhupada said, that's very nice. He said, I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, but I'm thinking, Prabhupada, that you're my spiritual master. And I really think you should have it because it's new, you know. And he said, no, no. He said, I have a chatter right behind him. Again, in Vrindavan, in his quarters, right behind Prabhupada's seat, is the actual wall of his seat was a shelf. There were shelves behind him. So immediately he said, no. He said, I have a chatter. And I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, you're my spiritual master. I said, I would much rather you have this chatter. He said, no, no. He said, you need a chatter. He said, it's very cold here in the morning. He said, you should have the chatter. And I looked at him. I said, Prabhupada, I said, I would much rather have your chatter. And then he just smiled. He said, okay. So then I gave him the chatter. But it was definitely something I learned, and I saw again and again with Srila Prabhupada. He would always know with me. He always knew everything about me, but he always knew whether we were trying to trick him, you know, or trying to cheat in some way. And he would always draw the truth out of you. He wouldn't let you do it, you know. In any situation I had with Prabhupada, he would always make me tell him the truth, because sometimes, you know, the tendency is we're afraid to do that or we're ashamed to do that, but he would make that happen. And even in this little exchange, which was very funny, Prabhupada made me tell him what I wanted. He wasn't going to do it, and he was very happy to do it. He had no problem giving me his chatter, you know, but I had to tell him I wanted it. And it was something I wasn't so shy about doing, was taking something from Prabhupada that he wanted to give me. So this one, he didn't offer it to me. There's so many things he offered me. Here in Los Angeles, once we were here in L.A., and it was like it is now in the morning. It was very, very cold. And up in the servants' quarters, I haven't even visited there this time. I went in once it was locked. I want to see Prabhupada's quarters here. But at the end of the hallway, of course, was the servants' quarters. And Prabhupada, he would walk back and forth through the rooms, through all up and down the hallway, and he would chant japa. And one night he was doing that, and it was very cold. It was like 40 degrees. And I had a two-burner stove, gas stove on the floor, because it was the kitchen. The servants' quarters was the kitchen. It was the room I slept in. It had a refrigerator in it. And he was walking back, and I had the burners on because it was so cold, and I was sleeping on a straw mat, and I had just the chatter over me. And he walked, and he said, "Do you have a blanket?" And I said, "No, Prabhupada." And he said, "All right." He said, "Come with me." So I followed him back into his room, and we went into his bedroom, and he said, "Open the Elmira," which, you know, his metal cabinet, which he always kept locked. So I opened it up. And inside, there's all the things Prabhupada's given. You know, there's sweaters in there and different clothes and there's blankets and quilts. And he said, "Take any blanket you want." And I looked and there's like three or four blankets. And there was this one quilt and it was satin and it was bright saffron. And I just saw it like immediately my eyes. It's the only thing it saw was this beautiful quilt. You know? And I said, "Is this okay?" He said, "Yes, take it." So I took it and went back to bed. And I put this wonderful quilt of Prabhupada's over me, you know, that he had given me. So a day or two went by. And I spent a good amount of time here in Los Angeles with Srila Prabhupada. And I knew many of the devotees. And there was this one devotee kept asking me to sleep in the temple room. He said, "A bunch of us are sleeping in the temple room every night." So he said, "You know, why don't you come and stay in the temple room?" So I was hesitant because I was always supposed to be up there. But I thought, well, I could do it one night. So I said, okay. So I went down. And, of course, I brought this quilt down with me. And we all laid our, you know, they had their sleeping bags. Everybody had a little sleeping bag, his little. And I had this, I had my mat and then this beautiful quilt, you know, with silk and satin and all puffy. And I laid down and they're looking at me and they go, "Where did you get that?" And I said, "Prabhupada gave it to me." And I just saw the eyes on this devotee and he had those eyes, you know, like, he said, "Really?" He said, "That was Prabhupada's." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you want it?" So he said, "Yeah, yeah." So I gave it to him in the morning. So the next night I'm back up in my room. And I'm lying on the floor and I have the heat on again. And I have nothing on top of me. And Prabhupada's walking back and forth and he stops. And he said, "Where's your blanket I gave you?" And I said, "Oh, Prabhupada," I said, "one of the devotees saw it." And I said, "He asked me for it." I said, "So I gave it to him." He said, "Come with me." And we went back. And he said, "Open the Elmira." So I opened it up. He said, "Now take a blanket." And he said, "This time, don't give it away." I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." So I just grabbed a blanket and took it. So he was very... very kind, Prabhupada. And he always took such, always taking such good care of us, still taking care of us. The other, I was talking with Hari Sari earlier, we were going to tell some stories about airplanes, Prabhupada flying. This was also one of the great pleasures. And being with Prabhupada was, being outside of the temple with Prabhupada was always a very different experience than just being with his disciples. When you were on a plane with Prabhupada, so many interesting things could happen with Prabhupada interacting with the non-devotees, as we would always say, the karmis. You know? Prabhupada, he was always so independent, always aloof. I always say when in the plane, it was so funny because when we were coming in for a landing, always the fasten your seatbelt sign would come on. You know, that's the indication how you have to, You know, they tell you they're going into descent. So for Prabhupada, it meant time to get up and use the bathroom. So whenever that would go on, he would get up, and then he would walk down the aisle and go towards the bathroom. And, of course, then I would have to go with him. I would follow him there and then wait outside, and he would open the door, and I would come, and I would walk back. But many times you would have a flight attendant or stewardess, and they would, you know, try to say, you know, you have to sit down now. You have to sit down. And Prabhupada never would respond to them. Like he didn't even understand English. He would just walk. And then, you know, I would follow, and they would say to me, you have to tell him to sit down. And I would just say, I can't say anything, you know. So the one time we walked, and Prabhupada went into the bathroom, and I'm standing there, and I'm always feeling a little uneasy, you know. And then he'd open the door, and he looked at me, and he laughed. He said, when you're an old man, you can do anything you want. There we go back and sit down. So there was another flight. And again, flying with Prabhupada, sitting next to Prabhupada on a plane was also, imagine, you know, you're sometimes 5 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours on a plane, and you're next to your spiritual master, you're next to Prabhupada. So you're always your hands in the bead bag, or you're reading, or and it would be so hard sometimes. The movies, you know, they were always movies, so the movie's on, and your eyes are always going up and watching the movie, you know. And you never had the earphones, though, but you would be watching. And once we're both, and Prabhupada was looking, and it was a Western. And I'm kind of looking at it, and Prabhupada, I could see Prabhupada's looking, and he said to me, and there was this man, and he was on one of those, he had like a black suit on and a black hat, and everything was black, and he had this book under his arm. And so we're just kind of looking, and I'm looking, and then Prabhupada said, what is that book? And I said, I don't know. I said, maybe it's a Bible, Prabhupada. And he said, okay. And then another time, this was Air India, and we're flying just an internal flight from Delhi to Bombay. And we're sitting down, and at this time, up until 1975, it's always in economy. Prabhupada wasn't flying first class. He was in economy. And he always sat by the window. So he's sitting, and people are coming in, and in the Air India, the music's playing. And you could hear it. It was pretty loud. You could hear, and it was classical Indian music. It was tabla and sitar. And we're just sitting there again, you know, and I'm right next to Prabhupada in the seat. And Prabhupada looked at me. He said, do you like this music? And he pointed up to the speakers. So immediately I'm, you know, everything's a test, you think, when Prabhupada asks you. I think he's always testing you like he doesn't know. And I start thinking, oh, it's not bhajans, it's not chanting. And I'm trying to think, well, should I say it's nice or... So then finally he said, it's very nice. I said, yes, Prabhupada, it's very nice. And then there's another flight. It was from Japan to Hawaii. And this is in, again, 1975. So at this time, in 1975, there's, you know, magazines are in there. And there's a magazine right in front of Prabhupada. And it was like Time or Newsweek. And on it, it had a big headline that said, Women's Liberation. And because this was a big issue at this time. And it shows there's like a handful of women, and 3-4 women, and, you know, they all have their hands up, and there's a fire, and they're burning parts of their clothing and stuff in the fire, you know. And Prabhupada looked, and he picked it up, and he looked at it, and he put it back. And this time, Nitai, he's on the end. So Prabhupada looks at him, and he pokes Nitai. And there's the stewardess is walking down the aisle. So as she's coming, she's just about to come up, and Prabhupada's poking him and saying, tell her, she wants to be liberated, shave her head. And Nitai's like, like this. And Prabhupada said, go on. He said, cut one joke. He said, tell her. Tell her she can be liberated like us. Tell her, shave her head, and then she'll be liberated. And Nitai's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then she just walked by. But my favorite story on an airplane is happened between Mexico and Caracas, Mexico City and Caracas, Venezuela. And Prabhupada just stayed in Mexico City for a week, and he left in the morning around 9 o'clock or so. And one lady made Prabhupada puffed rice, muri, we call it muri, which was, you know, spice that had a chaunce, puffed rice with nice chaunce and peanuts, and you would have some cut cucumber on the side. And it was one of Prabhupada's favorite preparations. Prabhupada said his mother, she used to make it for him when he was young, and he liked it very much. So she had just put it in aluminum foil, and it was in a paper bag. So one of the other things Prabhupada did, when we flew, we always had prasadam. And Prabhupada always took prasadam on the plane. I was just reading an article. It said, if you want to avoid jet lag, don't eat when you fly, you know, for like 12 hours before you don't eat when you get in the next place. But Prabhupada, he would always eat prasadam on the plane as much as he wanted, and he never had jet lag, Prabhupada. So that was as soon as you sat down and the plane would take off, and then Prabhupada looked at me and said, prasadam. So now again, he's at the window, and I'm sitting in the center, and next to me was Paramahamsa Swami. He was on the end. So as soon as Prabhupada asked, I put down the table and I took it out of the bag, this aluminum foil, opened it up, and I put it on Prabhupada's table. And Prabhupada did everything just so beautifully, you know, the way he would take. And he just would take a little handful and, you know, kind of push it into his mouth. And from the side, you could see Prabhupada chewing. You know, he would chew so well, so nicely. And he would honor prasadam. You know, when Prabhupada ate, there was never any talking. And he was just eating very, very nicely, very quietly. And we're just sitting there. So he's, for about 5-10 minutes, Prabhupada's eating his puffed rice, and he would take a little cucumber sometime, mix and take. And he ate about half of it. And then he'd just look at me and, okay, and just give a little nod. Sometimes he wouldn't even speak. He would just look, and you knew. Okay. So I put my table down, and I moved over the aluminum foil. And there was still a good amount of puffed rice in it. So then I split it in half, broke the paper in half, and I gave half to Paramahamsa. So now we get Prabhupada's remnants. So we're sitting there, and of course very happily eating Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam, puffed rice, is very tasty. And we're just eating. So again, a stewardess is walking down the aisle, and she stopped right in front of Paramahamsa. And she just looks. And she reaches past Paramahamsa into my plate, into my aluminum foil, and she grabs a handful of puffed rice. And she puts it in her mouth. She was the stewardess on the plane. And she just took Prabhupada's remnants and ate it. And Paramahamsa's eating, and Prabhupada, he's just looking ahead. He's not even observing any of this, you know. And I look at her, and she said, this is very good. She said, what is it? And I said, it's puffed rice. I said, she said, well, you know, why are you eating? You know, why are you eating like this? I said, we're, and then, you know, no one else is doing anything. It's just like her. And I said, we have a special diet, and so we bring our own food. And she said, would you like anything else? So I looked at Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, would you like anything? He goes, hot milk. So I said, Prabhupada tells me, he doesn't even look at her. He just tells me. I said, we'll all have hot milk. So she goes, oh, okay. She says, no problem. She said, would you like anything else? She said, I can go into first class. She said, they have fruit, they have cheese, they have bread. You know, she said, I could bring some things back. And I looked at Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada? He said, yes. I said, okay. So I said, yeah, we'll all have fruit and cheese and bread. So she goes, and, you know, 10 minutes, took her 10 minutes, and she has now, she's pushing a cart back, and we have 3 cups of hot milk and plates with cut-up fruit. It's all cut real very nicely and everything, and bread. And so we put it all there, and you know, then you just sit and you wait for Prabhupada, because you can't touch anything until Prabhupada takes it and makes it prasadam, you know. So Prabhupada would pick up a piece of fruit and immediately, you know, we just imitate him, you know, and start eating. And I said, Prabhupada, I said, wasn't that amazing? And I'm thinking, of course, this woman taking Prabhupada's remnants. And Prabhupada said, women, he said, they have natural tendency to serve. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, I didn't say anything, but he didn't answer the question I was asking. He answered the fact that she was being so nice to us, doing so much nice service. But I'm thinking, she ate Prabhupada's remnants. You know, I mean, we know in the temples how we would, you know, the brahmacharis and all, we would kill one another to try to get the Prabhupada's plate. You know, I had once a devotee offer me $100 to get Prabhupada's plate. And I said, no, I said, it's for everyone, you know. But this, she just took it. So to me, it was one of the most wonderful things I had ever seen, how Krishna, you know, super soul in the heart, directed this woman to take prasadam. I've told that story many times, and I told it right here, in fact, on that side of the room. I remember telling it once. And afterwards, a devotee came up to me, and he said, can I tell you a Sankirtan story? So I said, yeah. I said, yeah, okay. And he said, well, he said, I used to do Sankirtan in South America. He said, and of course, you know, there's lots of forest, you know, lots of jungle you go to, he said. And he said, we used to go out to where there were just villages, and you would have to go in four-wheel drive vehicles, you know, like jeeps. He said, and you would go to the town center, and you just park, and you have kirtan, nice Harinam kirtan. He said, and then we would go driving out again, out off of the roads, off of the from the town, and distribute books, go distribute Prabhupada's books. He said, so we were going. He said, to places no one has ever been to. He said, so the one day, he said, we went to this one town. He said, and we did our Harinam. He said, and then afterwards, he said, I got in. You know, we got back into the jeep, and he said, we drove. He said, and I went into this place, he said, and we found this one little cottage. He said, so I'm in dhoti and kurta, he said, you know, shaved head, everything. He said, and I knock on the door. He said, that woman opens the door, and immediately she says, Hare Krishna. She says, come in. So he goes into the house, and he said, and there's, you know, pictures of Krishna and Prabhupada on the wall, and he says, you're a devotee. And she says, yeah, she says, yes, yes. He says, well, you know, how did you become a devotee? And she said, well, she said, I used to work for an airline. She said, and I took Prabhupada's remnants from his plate. So out of millions and millions of people, he manages to go to this person's house, who was the same lady that just somehow or other, just by Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. So this was this person. So Prabhupada was making devotees, always making devotees. Everyone came in contact. Like it said, just a moment's association. So I always think that when I see devotees in the next generations and the young people, that, you know, we these people, they just don't come from nowhere. Everyone's coming by Prabhupada's mercy, one way or another. We're all here. We all remain here. We all come here. It's all through Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop here. I'm very eager to hear Guru Das. Hare Krishna. No, this was after Prabhupada left, I heard this. Oh, yeah, he saw it. Yeah, Prabhupada saw it. Everyone saw it. But it was, I've never seen anything. It's just, no one does such a thing, you know. She did. Yes. Jai.
Please, Shri Kirti, keep coming to the Prabhupada Festival every year. So, our next speaker is supposed to be Guru Das, but I'm going to slip one speaker in between because when I saw this particular person the other day, he said, I just came 1,000 miles to attend this festival. I just drove 1,000 miles. So, is Guru Das Pandit here to culminate his trip? 1,000 miles. Guru Das Pandit is here. 1,000 miles he has come to tell his story about Prabhupada. Jai.